Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your match preview show for Chelsea versus Newcastle. I noticed I got it slightly wrong in the last preview because I said it was the review of the Leeds game when it was actually the preview for Brentford, but we did both anyway. So just goes to show the level of journalism here may need a slight amount of tweaking. But here's what it is. Game is the game, as Riyad Mahrez said to his missus in that thing on Amazon. Have you watched it yet?
What, the old football wags Amazon Prime show?
Yeah.
No, I've seen the clip of Jorginho's wife and Jorginho losing the will to live and walking out of the room. Fastest I've ever seen him move.
Do you see the clip of Tarkovsky and his missus?
Yeah. When she's just, all she can talk about was shagging.
When's this going out? Past watershed? What's it? You're shagging.
So what'd you like to do? Shag. Okay. What else? Go to bed. And shag. Okay, anything else? Yeah, probably have dinner. With a shag. And he's just looking at her like, oh, my parents watch this show. Fuck. No, I haven't seen it. Is it good?
No, I need to watch it. But I just want to watch it just for that, to just watch James Tarkovsky's life slowly dissipate.
It's a weird show. For like, Jorginho fully I get, Mahrez I get, and is it Gundogan as well who's on it, I think?
Is it Gundogan?
I think it is. Okay. They're all players I get doing that. But James Tarkowski is not the kind of football player. His PR have clearly gone, you've got a bit of a reputation, you've still got that Burnley rep around you. Do you want to do something that's going to, you know, make you come up with a personality rather than being this, you know, Sean Dyche toy?
James Tarkowski is basically JT 2.0 is basically what they're trying to suggest here. It's just like, yeah. I just love shagging
but,
meat.
Well, he didn't. It's funny he didn't even say it. He was like, "Oh yeah, pass the watershed," and she goes, "I just love shagging him. That's all I like to do." Okay, fair enough.
It's when this. So, who's your role model, James? So, my role model is John Terry, a fantastic defender, great header of the ball, great with both feet when it comes to passing out the back, and is just an absolute top shagger. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense. Oh.
I do think the concept for it as a show is weird, but then I also really do want to watch it, so I kind of get it.
Okay, I think as part of Act One, we should do we should watch one episode a week. We should treat it like, you know, it's 2006.
Oh, new segment.
And then we'll do like a new segment. Footballers Wives.
To Act One, we've got the previous game, Forgotten Banger, whatever I decide to come up with this week. And then James Tarkowski's sex life as an extra segment. I like it. Yeah, let's do it.
To be fair, one thing with James Tarkowski, right? He was one of my hear-me-out signings when he was available on the free from Burnley, and I stand by it. He would have been the next Gary Cahill, I'm telling you.
I'm not fully sold on that one. I would have preferred me over him, I think, as an actual defender. But no, I don't mind Tarkowski. I think he's decent, but I don't know if he's Chelsea quality. But, you know, you could argue.
What was the thing you sent me about Ben Mee the other day?
Oh, that's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my Reggaeton. And that song's been stuck in my head ever since. Reggaeton's been in my FPL team ever since. It's a strange time in my life.
It's a banger. But anyway, we'll get straight into it. We digress, as we usually do. Obviously, it is Chelsea versus Newcastle. Monday night football, Chelsea on the telly at last. But for me, it doesn't really matter because I'm going to be there. But, you know, irrespective, for the people that haven't been able to watch Chelsea so much this season, because we've not been on the telly because we've been shit, we're playing Newcastle. So there you go. Chelsea do exist. It might lean more into the story that we always finish 10th. But, you know, it is what it is. Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville undoubtedly will be talking about Manchester United and Liverpool rather than the game that's happening. Either that, or if they do talk about the game that's happening, they'll talk about how Chelsea have bottled everything. But it is what it is. Again, Riyad Mahrez. Game is the game. But let's get straight into it. Act one, the fun part. Let's talk about Brentford. So obviously, as you know, I was at my cousin's wedding. So I only saw the highlights. And I kind of watched part. I didn't watch the full 90. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I did. Because people who say that, you know, I watched the full 90 again to reanalyse the footage. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just read a Twitter thread. So, in terms of it, Tom, can you enlighten me? Mm. Was it, from what I saw, it was very much standard. It is standard Chelsea struggling to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I actually did watch the full 90. I found a stream, lock me up, and watched it.
With Harry Kane for his dodgy fire stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the game.
How, Harry?
Well, I just did.
yeah, it was weird because we played all right in the first half. We were quite good and we were pretty dominant. I think if Nico Jackson puts away the harder of his two chances,
yeah,
the one where he goes round Flecken and then tamely passes it to the whichever defender clears it off the line with his left foot, if he tucks that away like he should have done, and then scores his trademark quite difficult header that he takes really well, with 2-0, I don't think they come back from then. But then when they scored, like instantly in the second half, from Ruslev, who this is his first goal in 2 years for Brentford. Of course, it's against Chelsea.
Shock horror.
And there was a bit of a bittersweet in there for me from an FPL perspective because Reguilón got the little toe poke assist. But from then on, for the next, I would say probably 40 minutes, not 40, like 30 minutes roughly, we were absolutely terrible, I thought. They scored again, and which again, preventable. Johan Visser, what was he? You haven't seen the game, so they might not have shown it in the highlights, but in the game, Johan Visser did it about four times. He just kept going, fuck it, I'm going to do a bicycle kick in the middle of the box for no reason. And one of them came quite close.
I did see that one.
One of them came quite close, and then there were two that just obviously went nowhere near. And then he gets all the time in the world and goes again for the fourth time, fuck it. And this one, as soon as he hits it, there's nothing the keeper can do. So yeah, that was a bit like, really? It was sloppy defending again. So that put them in the lead. And then we're very lucky Reguilón. It's basically we're very lucky it was Reggie with the header and not Tony or Visser, or even, obviously he's not fit, but say Mbeumo was fit. We're lucky it was him on the end of that. Because he came close, he hit the post. But if that's someone like Tony or Mbeumo or one of their actual players who know how to score a goal, that's 3-1. And that's that. Mm. And that would have been a first loss at Brentford since 1938. There you go. Early stats shagging for you. but then Cold Palmer just went, no, I'm not having that. Whipped a good ball in. De Sassi, for some reason, seems to be a better striker than a defender. Headed it in. And then from that moment on, I think that was like the 83rd minute. So then we had like a good roughly 10 minutes, including stoppage time, where we were on top and looked more likely to score. But we didn't score, obviously. So it was a weird one. It came away, obviously, with a point, which was drop points. Brentford's recent record is terrible. I think 4-16, 2-10 or something like that. So not good. But I don't know, there were times where we played quite well. It's just, it pretty much summed up the season. Very inconsistent. Moments of brilliance. I'd say actually the Gusto cross, the Jackson header, were brilliant. Moments of lacklusterness for obviously the Jackson failed finish and then the defending for both goals. But yeah, it is what it is. That was Saturday, and we're now recording on Thursday, so it feels like a lifetime ago. But yeah.
It was quite literally, for some things in the world, it was a lifetime ago.
Yeah, for like ants, butterflies, moths, and
yeah,
ants,
caterpillars. That's caterpillars.
How long does an ant live for?
Ant's lifespan.
What the f?
What's an ant's lifespan?
A black garden ant lives for 2 years.
What?
For the queen and any colony, their life may span up to around 15 years, while the worker ants live for around 7 years. This is, of course, if they can avoid being eaten. Well, yeah, obviously, but that is absolutely mental.
Did you just look up a stat on the lifespan of ants?
Ant lifespan? I'm stunned. But then Pharaoh ant workers can only live 9 to 10 weeks. Oh, this isn't a whole pod on it. I might have to start a new pod. Sideline might have to go into ants.
Yeah, I don't think Gary's going to give you the budget for that, mate. I'll be honest.
No budget needed. I'll do it on my own. Ant research. That's mental. Anyway, yeah. Ant, not an ant then. I don't know what lives 5 days.
So we can just safely say that Tom is not a fan of a B-movie, but he is a massive fan of ants or a bug's life, evidently.
Really, put me in a bad mood now.
Well, get ready to get in a better mood because we're now going to move on. We're going to talk about the Forgotten Banger. Yeah. I'm guessing I already know yours. It's definitely going to be. Is it REM?
It's actually not. Although that song has also been stuck in my head all for the last 2 weeks. And someone told me about the way to get a song out of your head is to listen to the whole song in full. So I did that like 4 times because apparently it's like your brain doesn't know how it ends.
Yeah.
So I did that and it didn't work. It's been stuck in my head even more, if anything. I just now know slightly more of the words. Anyway, no, it's not. It's not REM. It is not. No. Do you want me to go now?
Yeah, go on. What is yours?
I think my forgotten bangers often don't meet the criteria of would you hear this in a club. But my music doesn't tend to meet that criteria anyway. Mine is Kings of Leon.
Okay.
And it is Revelry.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well,
I saw my friend gave me a ticket to go see Kings of Leon with him last year. They might have played it. I'm not a massive Kings of Leon fan.
That album, only a couple of that album is unreal. That album with You Somebody and all of those. Oh,
We're going to make loads of people who listen to this feel old now. I was in primary school when You Somebody came out, and I got told off for singing it. Because, you know, Tunbridge Wells, Kent, you know.
That would have made more sense for you to have got told off for singing Sex on Fire, surely.
Oh, I did that as well, but, you know, I was a bad boy. I was a rebel.
I'm a bad boy.
Never do that again.
I might have to.
I can't unsee that.
For 10 years, what the fuck?
What, 10 years?
Ants. How did Ants live for that long?
Are you still on Ants?
No, sorry, it's just stuck in my head. I have still got Ant Lifespan tab up because I'm going to look at it after this in more detail because that is just absolutely... That is ridiculous. God. How can an animal that small live for that long? Sorry, we're meant to talk about Chelsea and bangers and stuff. My banger,
we'll move on. I've gone Moby, but I've gone for Extreme Ways, right, by Moby, which is a banger. But I've gone for the remix that was used in the Bourne films. It slaps. It's so good. It's better than the original.
So niche.
I'm all over it. I love Moby. Moby did he did a remix of James Bond, which was like my most played track on my iPod Nano, ages 8 through 13. Like every year, it was just top of it. James Bond remix by Moby. I felt like such a badass walking down. Like I'd be in school, right, and there was like where the music block was and where the school was. It was like a good like 5-7 minute walk to get from, you know, from school to the music block, where I'd be slapping the bass, which is, you know, something I still do to pass the time, and I'd be listening to that because that's how I warmed up. I always did the James Bond remix. It was great. But yeah, that is my song. I've gone Extreme Ways by Moby.
Okay.
And you've gone, right, okay, who's making this playlist? Am I making it or are you? Because we've still not done that. Should I just stick it on mine? I'm just going to stick it on my Spotify. And basically just say, if you want to listen to it, it's here. If you don't want to listen to it, fair enough. Don't worry about it. Although my Spotify is absolutely amazing. I will say that. I've got 7 followers on my normal music mix. You know, saying I'm a hero. I'm a hero amongst mortals, musically. But no one wants me to be.
For those who couldn't hear that.
But anyway.
Slow clapping.
We'll move swiftly on.
The worst brag in history.
I have 7 followers on my playlist.
Mate, you've just been looking up the lifespan of ants. Shut the fuck up.
You brought up ants. You said, oh, well, ants live like 3 days. I was like, okay, that makes sense. But do they actually? I'm a stat shagger. I like to be factual in everything I do.
Let's move on to your big question then, because I'm guessing that is going to be extremely factual.
So I forgot what it was and just saw it on the script and started laughing.
I've just seen it. Right, yeah, okay, sound, right. Tom, what is your big question of the week?
Oh, God. Well, obviously, the question of the week is always to do with the team we're playing. This week, it's Newcastle or the Toon. Now, obviously, when I thought of the Toon, I immediately thought of Greggs, which we already did with Middlesbrough, and Anton Deck, and I thought that was a bit boring. So I decided to have yet another play.
Put ants balls in your mouth.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
You're doing great. So I thought once again I would have a play of words on the nickname of a club, the Toon.
Okay.
And I thought,
right,
this is so stupid thinking about it, but it kind of almost ties into the B-movie hatred. We're going to do your favourite Looney Tunes character. I sat there for 5 minutes. I thought, right, what can I do about Newcastle? Greggs, Anton Deck. I could do some music scene but we've kind of done all that kind of stuff. So I'm going wild. Tunes. Could have done, again, something musical. But no, I've gone for favourite Looney Tunes character. Kind of follows on nicely from last week's favourite, The Office character, because of Brent, because of David Brent from Brentford. Yep. Some of the links, I'll admit, are quite loose. But yeah, favourite Looney Tunes character is obviously very important for talking about a Newcastle preview, in my opinion.
Really? Okay. I mean, I think the pigs are fairly... I do enjoy him, because I do a decent impersonation of him.
Porky Pig.
That's all, folks! The dyslexic pig. Or the... I mean, do we make it interesting, like, do it excluding, like, Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny? Like, I feel like that's, like,
none of
that's
them,
a foregone conclusion.
None of them would be my top two.
Neither of them would be. I mean, you're definitely the kid that had a crush on Lola Bunny in Space Jam, so, you know, that's the one which
I had a crush on any cartoon. You know, that was a weird... That reminds me of when one of my babysitter told me that the character from Tangled, presumably Rapunzel, it was unbelievably fit.
Hang on.
I know there's a lot to undress.
We're about to touch on something here a little bit
to undress.
How old? Yeah, your babysitter was talking about how a Disney character is fit.
Yeah, he was on
whilst
his iPad.
Babysitting you.
He was on his iPad and he had Tangled on his iPad, which is already a bit weird, I'd say.
I don't think he used
the words fit, to be fair, but I think something along the lines of, I don't know. I don't know how he would have said it, but I remember thinking, even at the time, I don't know how old I was, that is weird to think a cartoon could be attractive.
I'm just trying to figure out how the babysitter even gets to that conversation with.
I don't know.
That's probably okay.
As you've gathered by my aunt curiosity, I can have some pretty weird conversations. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would have happened, but
I mean, you're lying if you never, you like, everyone's had like some form of crush growing up on a cartoon character.
No.
Everybody has. Don't lie.
I'm not
Everyone
lying.
Has.
Everyone's like, oh, but what about the shark from Shark Tale? No, it's a shark.
No. Okay, Mrs. Incredible.
Mrs. Incredible. At least they're a human, albeit a cartoon human who is unbelievably flexible. I can understand that one, but...
I'm just kind of worried about who this babysitter is and how they definitely shouldn't be allowed to babysit. But okay, that's
I can't remember that.
Okay, let's. I'm way past my favourite Looney Tunes character now.
Okay, fine. Well, my two are Roadrunner and Taz. There we go.
I mean those are good ones. So Mikhailo Mudryk and Diego Costa are your two favourite characters. Mine are.
I should have done that. Chelsea players as Looney Tunes cards. Damn it. Next week.
No. That, do you know what that is? That's an excellent what if available on the Chelsea Echo very soon.
What if Chelsea. Well, we can do better than Looney Tunes, though.
I mean, we're doing let people know. We're doing like a Glastonbury lineup, which we're going to release when Glastonbury happens.
We are. Apparently, the lineup for Glastonbury comes out tomorrow morning. I've heard from a rumour.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. If that's the case, then we're
bloody
time. Be doing quite well. My favourite Looney Tunes character is probably going to be the Martian. I quite liked Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd
because he was stupid. Wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season, duck season.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was probably the dumbest one I've ever done of Tom's big question of the week.
And also that raised questions about Tom's childhood. But you know, that's someone else to discuss another time.
Next week is Leicester. Well, we'll try and come up with something there. Anyway.
What's your favourite foxybingo.com quote? So moving swiftly on, we'll get into the only part of the show which does have a jingle, which takes us directly into the football. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, it's Stat Shaggers. Realistically, the only reason you're actually here, sorry you've had to wait 20 minutes and listen to me talking about ants. And Looney Tunes and Tangled and whatever else we've spoken about. I don't think we've really mentioned much about football. But anyway, we're here now. We're talking about Chelsea. We're talking about Newcastle. Obviously, two big teams who have played each other a lot of times. 175, to be precise.
Jeez, blimey.
79 of those were Chelsea wins. 40 draws, 56 losses. wins for Newcastle, I suppose you could say. But we're not going to delve too deeply into the early 1900s because ain't got time for that. Since February 2014, I've gone pretty much a decade back. The two sides have met a nice round 20 times in all competitions.
Oh my God. Sorry, can we stop 2014 to 10 years ago?
It is, yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Well, this is technically just over 10 years ago, as it's March now, obviously. But yeah, we're old now, man.
I just finished my GCSEs 10 years ago.
Not in February, I hadn't, but yes.
No, I was on course to get bang average grades on the GCSEs.
Being pedantic. Yeah, that year, that was a great summer as well.
It was a good summer.
FIFA was good fun. The World Cup. I had no worries. That was good. Good times. Anyway, back to football. That was a tangent in Stat Shaggers, which is a cardinal sin. Since February 2014, a decade ago, as I say, the two sides have met a nice round 20 times. And it's been a largely pretty fruitful fixture for Chelsea, winning 12 of those games in total. But obviously, this game's at Stamford Bridge, so we're going to look there especially, where you'd have to go all the way back to beyond 2014. You have to go back to 2012. For a Newcastle win at Stamford Bridge when, yep, that's right, Papi Cisse made the Bridge his playground in a 2-0 win for the Magpies with one of the most iconic Premier League goals of all time. Whether
Didn't
he meant it.
It
or not, it
Didn't
still
mean
is
it.
One of the most iconic goals of all time, just like Rooney's is, even though he shinned it, still iconic. There you go. That's factual. Whether he meant it or not, we could talk about that all day.
What, David Brent?
Yeah.
That's factual, okay, whether he meant it or not.
Is what it is.
Gives a game, innit?
I got a Brent in my shaggers. That's good, I'm glad, I'm happy about that. Anyway, it's been a largely happy fixture at home for Chelsea, who since that defeat have won 10 and drawn 2 of the subsequent 12 matches between the two sides at Stamford Bridge. That does include the 1-1 draw in the recent Carabao Cup quarter-final. Well, obviously Chelsea then went and won on penalties. So realistically, only one draw in 12 games at Stamford Bridge, which was the most recent one in the Premier League where we drew 1-1. From a historical sense, Newcastle at home in the last decade has been a fixture to look forward to. But this squad like to do things differently, so let's look out for that. Manager record, Maurizio Pochettino. He's played Newcastle 15 times in total. Making them one of his more popular opponents, or more played opponents, I don't think he really chooses who he plays, in recent years. Of those 15 matches, he's won 8, including, obviously, that recent Carabao Cup game in December, but has lost his last 2 in the league. One of those was a 4-1 shocker earlier this season at St James's Park. The other was a 1-0 loss at home when at Spurs. Louis is laughing. That's quite distracting.
He's still a Brent and a Partridge in the space of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
One of his more popular, I don't think he chooses his opponents, but you know.
That's good. That's good content. People like, you know, it's good old school. That's just me. I'm a walking meme. Anyway, in total, he has lost 6 matches against Newcastle. Probably most famously, that 5-1 loss when at Spurs to an already relegated Newcastle team. On the last day of the season. That was a funny day for Chelsea fans and most fans around the country and world. In total, against Newcastle, Pochettino has scored 29 goals. I'm going to do a Partridge again. He hasn't scored them himself. The team he managed has scored 29 goals and the team he managed has conceded 24. So there you go. A positive goal difference. I think I've just got a second Partridge and also a Brent in one stat shaggers, and we're not even done yet. That is a new record. Here we go. The Newcastle recent record. After a very dodgy spell around Christmas where they lost to Luton.
Walk away.
I'll do that again. After a very dodgy spell around Christmas where the Toon lost to Luton, Forest, Liverpool and Manchester City in 4 consecutive league losses, they're now starting to get back to some sort of form. They've beaten Forest, they've beaten Villa, they've beaten Wolves, which was in their last game, 3-0 win there, as well as high-scoring draws against Luton and Bournemouth. Has been quite important for them to get back to some sort of European football for next year, or in the mix for it anyway, but they did also lose 4-1 to Arsenal in that run. So they're not back to where they were last year by any stretch, but found a little bit of form. But hopefully, if recent records are to go by, doesn't matter. Chelsea will beat Newcastle at the Bridge, according to my stats. And that's all that matters. It's back to you in the studio.
It's just so... It's just so Alan Partridge, the first. So now we're going to look up the age and the lifespan of ants. And this is Stat Checkers. It's just so Partridge.
I mean, yeah. Could be worse, I think. It was the fact that I had a self-realization at the end of realizing I was about to do another Partridge and still did it. I can't say if that's a low point or a high point. I don't know. But there we go.
I'm actually crying.
I'm glad someone enjoyed it. That's all I'll say.
I didn't even listen to the stats. I'm going to have to clip that up. Oh, dear. Partridges and Brents.
Do a counter. See if you can count how many Partridges and Brents there
are. Oh, dear. That's going to be so good. Anyway, it's the Echo 11. I guess we'll just do the important bit first. Are we doing the same formation? We're doing three at the back that we had against Brentford? Or are we going back to the four?
Ooh. I haven't really thought about the three at the back. I think back to a four. I don't know. I kind of want to have consistency, though. But then I just don't understand this Chilwell playing that far forward. I think back to a four, because I think Connor needs to play.
Okay, but then Chilwell's also unavailable, potentially.
Oh, yeah, Chilwell and Cole will have decided they don't fancy it. yeah, okay, well, then in that case, if Chilwell's definitely not available, then Poch won't play him at left wing. So, yeah, four. Although it is our team, it's kind of irrelevant what Poch wants to do. But, yeah, four. We're going four, unless you want to go three.
I'd have personally gone for a three, but let's rock, paper, scissors it. This is how we decide our lineups in the Chelsea. Okay, ready? Right. We're doing one, two, three, shoot, right?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh.
Wait. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yes, I win.
Fuck.
Three at the back. Come on.
We're playing a three.
Benevente ball's well and truly on the pitch. So, I think it was, it'd be 4-4-2, but you know, that's another conversation. With that being said, Petrovic and goals always nailed on, guaranteed now.
Yep.
Back three, what is it going to be?
Well, probably the same, but no Colwell, so that's the problem. And also, if you're playing, who are you playing at left wing back if Chilwell's not available?
Mikhailo Mudryk.
Oh no, you can't do that to him. That's awful. I don't know if I can say that. Probably can't say that. Should I say it? I was gonna say something like that's worse than sending him home. but yeah, I don't think you can put Mudryk at left wing back. you can't do that to the lad. He's here to play left wing. Let him play left wing.
Yeah, realistically, then I don't think we can play a three, can we? We're gonna have to play a four.
Benevente ball battered by Masters. That doesn't work.
The Thomas Tactico.
That sounds so bad. Tactical Masters class.
That's awful. Anyway, so okay, so we're going Petrovic in goal. Yeah. I'm guessing it'll be De Zassi and Thiago Silva.
Ooh, shudders. Yes.
Is Thiago Silva available? this is the point, right?
Who's playing?
It's at that point, right, where. I get, people will be like, you should know who's available. It's your job to. We're like, absolutely. But the thing is with Chelsea, you just don't know anymore.
Well, there are four players getting injured every week and they're all on, they'll be back soon. And then 14 weeks later, they're not. We don't know where they are. It gets quite hard. Romain Lavere will be back soon, apparently. Where?
Where is he? Oh, we could technically still play the three. Kukurea is back in training. You could go De Zassi, Trevor Chalobah, and...
Oh, Chalobah will play as well. He 100% will play.
I mean, hang on. Chelsea injury list. I mean, this is the thing.
Wesley,
it's like,
Fofana out. Potential return, 3rd of June. Romeo Lavia out. Potential return, end of March. Nkunku, end of March. Reece James, end of March. Benro Badiashile, 11th of March, so that is
okay.
The Newcastle game. So he has a chance.
Here
as,
we go.
As
so
do
we've
some
got
some other players.
So we've got no Badiashile.
Colwell's out. Chilwell's out.
Yeah. Okay. He might be available because he's going undergoing an assessment. So, but let's just say he's not. Just saves us the hassle.
I'm assuming he's out. Yeah. And
Conor Gallagher's out as well.
Is he? He's still ill.
Absent due to illness. Yeah. Still says still there.
God's sake. Well, that's my plan to play the four. Now it's gone. What's the point?
Why doesn't Conor Gallagher just take some paracetamol? Stop being such a fucking bitch.
So what's our team going to be? That's literally half a fucking team's injured again.
We might actually see Cesare Casedi play.
Oh, the scariest looking footballer on the planet.
He looks like Annabelle, doesn't he?
Walking every time Frankenstein.
Hey, that's not very nice, okay?
It's probably nicer than what I said about Mudrick at left wing back, but... I'm on the line. I was told to be on the line. I'm on the line. Maybe I'm over it. I don't know.
I know this is what I said to Tom. People said, Tom, not going to lie. People said you can be a little bit monotone. He goes, okay, we'll change it up then. And he's just gone, right, screw this.
He said, have I got news for you? I don't know if he would say that.
It's Frankie Boyle just before we got taken off the BBC.
I don't think it's anywhere near that.
No, it's not yet. Y'all are the way I've gone, yet. Oh, dear. I love this podcast so much. We're going to get in so much trouble
like
when there's
this
an
injury
HR
list.
Department.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 10 players on the injury list currently. Have there ever been less than 10 in the last 2 years?
No.
Right, so defensive-wise... Well, Gusto plays at right back or left back.
All right. I'm going to say that Kukurea is back. I reckon he's going
to
start.
He's not on this list, so fine. He might have to play, yeah.
So, Kukurea is back in training. So, I'm going...
Hooray.
Kukurea at left back. Gusto at right back. Yeah, Disasi and Chalobah.
Bloody Dumb and Dumber.
Or Thiago Silva and Disasi, because Thiago Silva's not on that list.
No, he's not.
So it'll be Thiago Silva and Disasi probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'd play the three. I'd play the three at the back.
I mean, you won Rock, Paper, Scissors, so it's up to you. If you want to play three at the back with Kukurea at left wing back, which, to be fair, he played a lot at Brighton, but still, does he have the engine?
Okay.
He's just come out for injury and you want him running up and down the...
Oh, mate, battalion. Have a bump before you go on the pitch.
Running up
not
and down the
drugs
wing.
Test on him, are they?
His hair weighing him down.
Last time you said that I shouldn't cut his hair because I'm a bad barber, but you know, it is what it is. It's not like I gave you one of your better trims, isn't it? But yeah. Okay.
Sorry, was that a nibble from something I said about 3 months ago?
I stand by it. I take that very seriously. That is no, not having this. And then I send it to my mate and then he says, he moans about my mate, who is my barber and is one
I
of the best barbers in London.
Him. What? No, that's just twisting my words. I did not moan about him.
No, it's fine. I've already told Callum he wasn't happy. Anyway, if you're in the London area and you don't want me to cut your hair, I highly recommend two barbershops. Urban Root in Angel, if you're north of the river. If you're south of the river, go ask for Callum in Offcuts in Streatham. That's the only thing. I go all the way to Streatham for a haircut.
Yeah, lovely guy, good haircut.
Yeah. Sound. Anyway, back three. So we've gone Thiago Silva, Disasi, Chalobah, Kukurea left wing back, Gusto right wing back, double pivot. Again, we can't even pick the 11. This is just literally picking itself because there's nobody available.
The Echo 11 is just the 11 players who aren't injured or ill. It's not that fun. But yeah, Enzo, yeah. Caicedo, and then...
Three.
Well, Jackson has to play.
I'd go Jackson, Mudryk, Madueke.
That's what I would do, and that's what I would have done for much of the season. But, well, actually, no. Well, we've also forgotten Cole Palmer. So, I mean, I think
Cole Palmer. Actually, we're talking about Cole Palmer. Yeah, I got so we've got
Palmer
Cole
on the
Palmer
right.
On
let's
the
play
right.
Mudryk. Let's let Mudryk cook. After what I said about him earlier, I think he deserves a star left wing. Yeah, nice. That's a team that might do something. I don't know.
Yeah. And Kieran Trippier is not going to be available, so it'll be like I think it'll be like Emil Kraft or something at right back.
Livermento.
Will it? I think he's been playing left back.
Yeah. Livermento, because they've got Dan Burn. So I'm pretty sure Livermento came on for Trippier in the last game and scored one of the funniest goals I've seen in a while. So yeah, it will presumably be their usual back four, but with Livermento at right back.
Yeah, I mean, right. With that being said, though, obviously we've done our 11 there roughly. So, yeah, you guys can enjoy that. We'll definitely just, you know, stick that out on socials. I was quite happy with the little one we did last week. That was fun, day of the match. But having said that, we'll move on. Obviously, we mentioned that there's no Kieran Trippier for Newcastle. So with that being said, that's one of the big key threats gone there for them in terms of their creativity. But, I mean, who are the people we should be worrying about in this team? Because, you know, Bruno Guimaraes and, you know, Alexander Isak proved their valuable, well, proved their worth for Newcastle in the previous fixture. And obviously, I think that was a game where I think a lot of people expected maybe Wolves to go and get all 3 points. But Newcastle really showed their class in that game. Do you think that there's anyone in that team, aside from the aforementioned three, that could maybe cause us some issues?
What, from Bruno?
Isak, and obviously Trippier is unavailable.
Trips. Yeah, the big man, I think, is Anthony Gordon out of those three.
What, Claire Balding?
Claire Balding's had an unbelievable season down the left-hand side for the Toon this year. Mainly at home, to be fair. Doesn't travel very well, Claire Balding, seemingly. Yeah, he's been good. I think he's a threat. And obviously, I'm not convinced by our defence at the moment. / haven't been convinced at all season. I look at the centre-backs that we have and I just don't really trust any of them. Apart from probably Colwell, but he's injured. So there we go. So I think he's one to look out for. I think him and Isak combine quite well. Yeah, good player. I think Livramento as well, very underrated in my opinion. So I don't actually think the drop-off from Trippier is as stark as it probably was last season. What else? Who else have they got that's... you know who is actually really good and very young is Lewis Miley. Very good player,
yeah,
in the midfield. Good engine, good player. Seems to like scoring goals, and we love conceding like goals against young kids, so he'll probably score. Yeah, if you haven't scored a goal for like 4 years, play against Chelsea, it'll probably happen. Or you haven't ever scored a goal, like Conor Bradley, just rock up.
Or Tom's babysitter who fancies the goal from Tangled.
Yeah, you know, or Rust, haven't scored in 2 years, just turn up, bang it in. Anyway, yeah, I think they've got some threats, but they're definitely not... Like, if we were playing them last year, I would have just gone, we're going to lose. But they're not the same team as last year. They have got injuries, to be fair. But it also, I think Europe, they played a lot more games than they did last year, and it has... They certainly struggled a bit, and that's why they are, you know, where they are in the table, which is, well, kind of in the sort of mid-table meh bit where we are.
Yeah, I mean, with that being said, though, like, we're both two teams are out of form. I think I'd say our the former Newcastle and the former Chelsea this season has actually been very similar. We've both been extremely inconsistent. With that being said, we are still in the hunt for Europe. You know, Minsk away is still on the card. Tom's tattoo of, you know, Big Mac in Latvian is still going to be available, hopefully. Big Mac. So with that being said, I think the only thing that constitutes a good result here is a win. It's the only thing that we have to win this game. Because there is that little mini league there, which is going for that seventh position.
Mm-hmm. And we need to win. West Ham are six ahead of us now. We have got a game in hand. Although that game
which
in hand
is going to be
Spurs. So it's not ideal. Look, we got to win. The thing is, how many times we said that this season, like it's a must-win game? I genuinely think it's been pretty much all 26 games. it's at that position now. And also, like the way Fulham are playing, you know, they look good. We're at risk of being overtaken by Fulham and then falling into where we were last year, which was just meh. Like not even. You know, we've got 12 games of the season to go. It would be nice if come the end of it we're playing for something. Whether that be... No, we're only 8 points behind United with a game in hand. We win that game in hand. We're 5 behind United, who are pretty inconsistent themselves. They've actually lost more games than us, albeit they played one extra, and that extra game was City. But still, you know, like we should be pushing. We should be looking at this table and thinking, we could get seventh, maybe we even push for sixth. We definitely shouldn't be sort of looking behind us like I just did and going, oh, Fulham are only a point behind us, and they're playing quite well. Bournemouth have got Luton, Sheffield United at home next two. They could overtake us. So we need to win this game, and we need to like they're playing at home. They should want to please the fans. All this basic football stuff, but it's just it's a weird time at Chelsea at the moment. I don't really know what to expect. Which in a way, I was talking to someone. Sorry, I'll carry on. Talking to a Sunderland fan the other day. He was, oh, who do you support? I was, oh, Chelsea at the moment, not great. He's like, oh yeah, I mean, so tough for you being a mid-table Premier League team right now. I'm like, Yeah, okay, fair. It puts it into perspective.
We get it, mate. We've watched Sunderland till I die.
It puts it into perspective.
The third season was shit. All right, relax.
Our two seasons, last year we were terrible. We finished 12th. And we were terrible, and that was it. And we all moaned. We all moaned this year. It's terrible. But, like, we're not buried. We're not, like, dead. The club is not gone. We're still there. We're still fighting. So it could be worse. Up the Chelsea. That's a rare moment of positivity from me this season. I started off really positive and then gradually just waned. And now I got to the point where I kind of borderline don't really care about the league. But if we win against the tune on Monday, I'm back in. I'm all aboard the Conference League. I'll start singing the tune. That was in my Spotify Wrapped for 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row, by the way, when Chelsea weren't even in the Europa League. I just love the tune. It was there. I kept listening to it.
I just want us to go in. Let's just go for it. Get the job done. I think, look, Poch is probably going to be gone at the end of the season, realistically. I think we have to just... I was speaking to Gar about it, and he was a bit like, he doesn't understand why people feel this way about him, maybe why people do feel it's untenable. But I think the feeling over the past few weeks in the stands is just people are just tired of him now. I don't think we see... anything positive after this year. I think it's very much a case of, again, people around me are talking about, like, it's like Benitez, like, thanks, you want to see Europa League, good for you, but we're done with you, can you leave? But we'll have to see what happens. It is just a big game, and I know we've been saying about every single one, and obviously we're saying, do you want to go for this, do you want to go for the FA Cup, because we've got Leicester as well to talk about as soon as this game's over as well. I think it's very much just a case of one game at a time. That's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, we said it so many times this season of this game massively important, got to get back on track. You know, we're just here for the ride at this point. I'm so at the point where, you know, I'm not quite
the
at
vibe,
the point.
Man.
Not, yeah, let's just go. Let's, you know, vibes and rah, let's just play. I'm just so at the point where I borderline just don't really care about the league. Let's just see what happens. And part of me is like, we could do something quite good and have a good end of the season and go into next season on a high. We could fall apart and finish 13th, you know, ultimately. It doesn't really matter. Like, you know, there's more to life. Spring is springing. The Forgotten Bangers playlist is being made. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm delirious about ants.
Should we just finish it up? Because we're already overrunning because you spent too much time looking at fucking ants.
Exactly. Oh.
The Chelsea Echo podcast is supposed to be half an hour to 40 minutes. We're 45 before the edit because Tom spent 5 to 10 minutes looking at fucking ants.
Don't blame me. And it was not 5 or 10 minutes. And also, you brought it up. So don't bring up things that you think, oh, Tom might get distracted by that, because I'm like a little child with ADHD. You mentioned ants' lifespan. I'm going to go, well, obviously, I'm going to look it up.
Okay, sound. Well, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo podcast featuring ants, Forgotten Bangers, reminiscing about the year 2014. Pretty much anything you possibly could. But hope you've enjoyed it. This has been a good episode. We will definitely be seeing you after Newcastle. The Score will be back doing his show, and Tom will definitely be hopping on that to give his analysis of the game. Probably mention something to do. I think what you should do for the people that haven't listened to the preview, or people that have listened to the preview, sorry, right? I think you should leave an Easter egg of at least 3 different animal lifespans and related to players in the game.
He's just like a queen ant, just thriving.
Yas, queen. Like, well done, Axel.
Score's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But yeah, anyway, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been a Sideline production. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. We are far more active on there now, mainly because we've been told that we need to be posting, all of us, at least 2 times a day each. I've been sticking to that schedule, but I don't know if the boys have been. Tom's looking like he's definitely not been doing that. He's just looking down the camera, dead faced, thinking about being an ant that only survives for 2 years. Make sure you engage with the Echo. Tell your nan, tell your dog, tell your hamster, tell your pals, tell your ants.
They live long enough to listen, apparently, so tell them.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Oh, dear Lord.